Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everyone. We bring you holy greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and it is our great pleasure to be with you on this day, Tuesday, August 17th, in the year 2021, as we continue our Bible study and prayer. This indeed is the day that the Lord has made. And I want to encourage somebody on this line tonight that the Lord has something more for you. He wants you to hear his word, and I promise you that there is a blessing in store for you tonight. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads with us for a moment of prayer before we get started. I'm excited about what God has for us tonight, and I'm going to ask that you would look to God with us as we begin. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor you this day. We give you praise and glory. We love you and we thank you for all that you have done and all that you are preparing to do. Lord, I bless your name right now, for your spirit is the spirit of life. Your anointing brings life. It shatters the powers of darkness and destroys the yokes that are on people's hearts and minds that have imprisoned them. But tonight, Lord God, we declare in the name of Jesus that prison doors will be open, that hearts and minds would be liberated, and that even faith would be increased at the entrance of your word. Hey, God, we love you. We thank you. We glorify you. And even we are excited about the prayer that's going to be offered this night by our prayer leaders in time, Lord God, in time and on time prayer. Do what you want to do, Lord, and throw your weight around even on this line and let your anointing destroy yokes. We love you. We praise you. We magnify you. Commit all things into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Please, someone let me know if you are able to see the screen. Someone, please let me know if you are able to see the screen. God bless you. Amen. I want to also encourage you, amen, to remember that in the chat, for those that are on Zoom with us, that you're going to want to make sure that you are chatting to the entire audience, to everyone, and not to me directly. All right, God bless. Let's go. The word of the Lord last week was so powerful, and the Lord was dealing with me about addressing this topic and this lesson again. It was so powerful that I really believe that we need to make sure that people get it. I don't like to go through a lesson, rushing through it, looking at the clock to play beat the clock, but I really believe that there was something in this lesson that people needed to get. And so I want to share with you again this lesson concerning the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We shared with you how important it is to understand the connection between our existence and the laws that operate in this world. Nothing happens in this world outside of the context of a construct of law. The laws exist in this world, laws that deal with how objects move in space, how that objects are affected by gravity, laws of science, laws of nature. All of these laws, they existed before they were discovered. Man did not institute them. Man did not create them. Man discovered them. And once man discovered these laws that were created by God, then man began to build systems around these laws. because these laws are consistent. They don't depend on man. They don't depend on anything we offer or we have or don't have. They exist because of God. They exist because of God. And because man, in our ingenuity and our creativity and the level of brilliance that God has blessed us to have, has seen the consistency of these laws and built systems around these laws. A system is anything that, and this is an acronym, I've shared it before, and I want to reiterate it again for those of you that are on the line. An acronym is basically a sentence or a phrase that's constructed by a series of letters that form a word. And that word is usually the focus of what that phrase is. And in this case, the word is system. And the phrase that's connected with this acronym system is, it's anything that saves you stress, time, energy, and money. That's a system. Again, something that saves you stress, time, energy, and money. S-Y-S-T-E-M. And because man has capitalized on the laws of God, they've created systems to be able to benefit their lives. And I bring this up because not only are there laws in the natural, there's laws in the spirit. And when you understand how the laws that operate in the spirit world operate, then you can tap into the power of God. Now, anybody can come to Christ for salvation through repentance, which means confessing and forsaking sin, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the removal of your sins, and they can go on to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. They can do all of that without knowing one thing about these systems, not knowing one thing about these laws, and they can walk on and love God and enjoy their experience with God. But as much as you know will affect how you grow, as much as you know, it will affect how you grow. I'm going to say that one more time because you need to make a note of that. As much as you know will affect how you grow. And so it's just like the idea. If a person does not know their legal rights, they may find themselves being taken advantage of. But the moment they are aware of their rights and privileges, they know what they can stand for, and they know what they may have to just go through. When you are a child of God and you begin to understand the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, how that it has made you free from the law of sin and death, you stand stronger. Your back is straight because you understand that there are laws in the kingdom of God that govern the operation in the spirit world. And there are things that you will no longer accept as a part of your experience as you come to learn and know what comes from God versus what comes from the devil, and even in some cases, what comes from you. Let's go on. This is the first slide. And now I've got some readers that are on the line, and these readers might have been on here from last week. And so I'm going to ask that these individuals would come on. Now I'm going to let you have to know the slides and whatnot, but I'm going to ask that they would prepare themselves in this order. Now I'm sharing something with you, everybody in the Slack, and I'm going to read what I just put in the chat box. I'm sorry, not Slack, in the chat box, so that the readers can be in position. I'm going to ask these individuals to prepare, and I see most of them on the line right now. The first slide will be read by SNH, praise the name of God. Now, that happens to be my precious daughter, Lady Michael, and our precious daughter, our firstborn daughter, Sandra. But the SNH is Sandra, Noah, and Harmony. God bless you, daughter. The second slide will be When I ask for the reader to come forth, it would be Junior Deacon Austin. The third reader, I'm asking to be Sister Bernadette Tinley, Missionary Tinley. I see her on the line as well. Sister Denise Sutton will be number four. I see her. Brother Dale Daniel will be number five. I see him. Sister Lynette Alexander will be number six. I see her. And 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 are open. And so we'll get there in due time, and you'll see it. Praise the name of God. All right. Amen. Thank you, Sister Alexander, for letting me know. Not a problem. Not a problem. God bless your heart. So I'll just need someone to volunteer for slide number six in due time. Bless your heart. Okay. I'm going to ask Sandra to unmute and please begin reading at this time.
Romans 8, 1 verses 4 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was... Sorry, my phone dropped.
No problem.
In that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Thank you, daughter. And so we see, this is the introduction to this most powerful panoramic view of the experience of the believer walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this phrase, the Spirit, is mentioned more times in the book of Romans than in any other book of the Bible. It's mentioned in the book of Romans 20 times. But know this, 14 of those times, it's mentioned in this chapter. The Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. You need to understand that walking in liberty is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the power of God means walking in the Spirit. Walking free from guilt and condemnation is to walk in the Spirit. And tonight, I want to encourage you to embrace the more of God. Everyone that has the Holy Ghost listening to me, I want to encourage you to walk in this power, walk in this dimension with an understanding and a knowledge that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. If you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit listening to us on this line, I want to encourage you that your freedom is found in Jesus, and that through his shed blood and through his death, burial, and resurrection, you too can walk in the newness of life, which is a synonymous term for walking in the Spirit. Also, a synonymous term is walking in the Holy Ghost. And so the law of the Spirit of life tonight speaks to us concerning life in the Holy Spirit. This is not just an event or an occurrence. This is a position in which to live. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line. And I want you to know, in Christ, there is no condemnation. Although there is still the warfare that goes on between the flesh and the Spirit, walking in the Spirit is walking the sanctified life, to walk set apart for the purposes of God, the chains being broken and bringing and liberty being yours. What the law could not do. So the law of God is perfect. That's talking about the things that make up the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, in other words, or the Pentateuch, Everything that's in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those are the first five books of the Bible. It gives us the creation experience, the deliverance experience, how God worked amongst his children and bringing them into holiness as he showed them the way to a promised land, grew their numbers, helped them to get through challenging times, experienced their rebellion and disobedience that brought them into a 40-year journey that could have taken them 40 days to accomplish, but ultimately bringing them to the promised land and reminding them of all his goodness and mercy toward them. But Israel fell away. God gave them a system of offerings, a system of priesthood. He gave them everything built upon his laws. And those, that system, there goes the word system again. My God, it saves you stress, time, energy, and money. It saves you all the precious resources of life. And let me help you understand that the system that God put in place was designed to save them, to deliver them, to heal them, to keep them, to strengthen them. But what was warring, the warfare came because their flesh, their spirit wasn't converted. Their flesh was still alive. And although they were given the law, the Ten Commandments, and all of the other regulations, there was still an issue of their spirit. And what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, it could not be done because the law was perfect. And it would take a perfect person to keep the law perfectly. And so in the flesh, there's no perfection. In the Holy Spirit, God is perfecting us. In the flesh, there is no perfection. In the Holy Ghost, the Lord is perfecting us. And so what the law could not do, because it was weak through the flesh, all it did was point out our shortcomings, pointed out our failings, caused us to realize how much we really needed God. And so the Lord did a good job of that, but it didn't answer the issue of the heart of man. But so what God did was he sent Jesus in our likeness, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he sent him also for the issue of sin, condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, Jesus was judged for sin for us. Jesus was judged for sin for us. And so because God is a righteous judge, he's not going to judge Jesus and then judge us for the same thing. If Jesus took the charges, if Jesus took the blame and took the guilt, God has freedom for us if we accept what Christ has done. So that the righteousness of the law, the righteous goals, the righteous presentation, what the law required of us to do in terms of living righteous, that righteousness, that level of righteousness was fulfilled in us or is fulfilled in us by the Holy Spirit. We're not perfect, but we walk in righteousness. Righteousness is something that God bestows upon us. It gives us right standing and position with God so that we are not approaching God from the aspect of guilt and shame and sin. Don't allow anyone to call you a sinner saved by grace. When you have the Holy Ghost, you stop being a sinner. God, I'm feeling something in my spirit. The moment you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you stop being a sinner and you become a child of God. So the spirit-filled believer is not a sinner saved by grace. Our nature is so radically changed that we can walk sin-free because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so verse 4 speaks about the ability to walk in the freedom from sin and to walk in the reality of righteousness, so that the righteous level, the level of righteousness that was required by the law could actually be fulfilled in you and me as we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. My God, let's go on. The second slide, Junior Deacon Austin.
Romans chapter 8, verses 5-8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Thank you, sir. You see a picture here of a person who's trying to do it both ways. They're confused, trying to walk in the Spirit, trying to do the things of the flesh. And the things of the flesh have to do with that carnal nature, the appetite of sin. And so to be carnally minded is death. This is an image of a person who has the Holy Spirit, but they are yielding to their flesh, carnal. That's what it means to be carnal, relating to the physical, especially sexual appetites, the things of the world, the things that are temporal, things that relate to the body, influenced and controlled by passions and desires, instead of being influenced and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so that person is confused. What comes to mind is the double-minded person being unstable in all their ways. And this is what James wrote to believers. He said, if you are double-minded, you're going to be unstable in everything you do, and you're not even going to be able to get your prayers answered. And so this is that place. To live after the flesh is death. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Other words for carnal, other synonyms for carnal is lustful, lascivious, concupiscence. Those are some words you'll see in the scriptures. You may not, you know, they may not be a part of our regular vernacular, so I wanted to help you to understand how it fits. So those are words that are synonymous with carnal. Lasciviousness, concupiscence, other words that are synonymous with carnal is earthly and natural. And so when we talk about the flesh has a double meaning. It talks about the physical person, okay, what you can see. That's the physical side of me. That's the flesh. But also it speaks of a nature, and that you cannot see, the nature of the flesh. So when we talk about the flesh in this text, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, we're talking about people that are driven by their carnal nature, to be driven by the carnal nature. Now, you may ask the question, well, after I receive the Holy Spirit, do I still have a carnal nature? The answer is yes. And the reason is because we are not yet perfected. And so it is important to understand. Jesus told us to do it like this. He said, if any man will come after me, he must first deny himself. That's the flesh. Pick up your cross. That's the flesh. And follow me. Praise the name of God. To deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow me. What I love about that panorama, I see it, those words as a panorama. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It speaks about the body, soul, and spirit. Following Jesus Christ is a thing of the Spirit. If you're going to do it, you have to have the Holy Spirit to be able to be a disciple. We're going to get there in a minute, but I want to interject that you have to be careful. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so you've got to understand, they that are after the flesh are operating in weakness. They that are after the spirit are operating in power. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And understand this, anybody that's walking in the flesh, they that carnal mind, that carnal nature, it fights. The word enmity means to be in great opposition toward, fierce opposition. So the carnal mind is in fierce opposition against God. it can't be controlled. It cannot be tamed. The only thing that can break it is the law of the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus, which makes us free from the law of sin and death. And this is why you've got to understand, you've got to get the Holy Ghost and you've got to walk in the Holy Ghost. Let's go on. The word of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, this is extra verses, so I don't need my readers yet because my readers are going to be focusing on the book of Romans chapter 8. But I wanted to share this with you tonight so that you would understand the tripartite nature of man. For those that are not able to see it on the screen, you are at a bit of a disadvantage. I'm showing an image of three circles. The outermost circle is representative of the body, which represents our five senses: taste, touch, sight, smell, and hearing. The inner circle inside the body represents the soul, the intellect, the emotion, and the will. Inside there is a circle that represents the spirit. And the spirit is the mechanism or the avenue by which we communicate with God. Our body makes us sensitive to the things around us, causes us to be conscious of the things around us. Soul causes us to be conscious of ourselves, self-consciousness. Spirit causes us to be God conscious. And so unless you have and are operating by the Holy Spirit, there is a very limited amount of your capability to understand that can really understand the things of God. As a matter of fact, the most you can get out of God without the Holy Spirit, which is tremendous because this is how you get the Holy Ghost, is to have faith in God. And that may sound may sound like a stretch, but I promise you, everybody on this line tonight has a level of faith. And what I want to do is encourage your faith that it is resting in God's word. And the fact that God is able to sanctify you, he's able to put you apart for his purpose and his special use. He can sanctify you completely. So he's concerned about all of you, the total you. He's not concerned about just the spirit. He's concerned about your total person. And so Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," or totally, W-H-O-L-L-Y. "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice the order of priority here. In the world, it's body, soul, and spirit. But to God, it's spirit, soul, and body. Let's go on. Three kinds of man, or three kinds of person: the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. And you can see the attitude or disposition of each. The natural man, and this is going to benefit, the visual will be benefited by those that are able to see what's going on right now on the presentation. The natural man says, "Save yourself." And that rings from the cross at Calvary, where there were two thieves that were hung on either side of Jesus, and Jesus was in the middle. And you will remember that there was one of those thieves that says, "If you be Christ, save yourself and save us." He was really concerned about saving himself. Jesus being saved was just an incidental part of it. He wanted to be saved himself. And so we see that being true in Scripture. The spiritual man, though, relies on Jesus and declares to the utmost, "Jesus saves. I can't do this on my own. I cannot become what I need to become on my own. I need God to become what he has made me to become. I cannot become what God made me to become without God. I need God. I need God to become what God has made me to become." And you need to write this down in your notes, because the spiritual man trusts God, whereas the natural man and the carnal man trust themselves. And you'll see the carnal man on the far right agrees that, yeah, Jesus saves for heaven, but when it comes down to things on the earth, their attitude is, "Well, you better deal with these things on your own." God will get you into heaven, but you got to make it through here on the earth. That's the mindset of the carnal man. They don't fully trust God. They trust themselves. And so here you can even see who's on the throne. The throne is the center position. And that's represented by what looks like an H, but it's really a chair. And the natural man, the non-Christian, he's on the throne. His ego, self, and that's represented by the E in the circle. And you'll notice that Christ is on the outside of his life. He's on the outside, and all those other small dark circles represent various interests. It could be sports, it could be family, it could be career, it could be education, it could be financial pursuits, it could be, you know, making their body look better in terms of health, or even in terms of surgery, you know, tuck this, tuck that, pull here, pull there, liposuction, the whole nine. They're focused on themselves. The carnal person, the circle in the center, this is the Christian who's not trusting in God. And so there's the throne, but who's on the throne? Look at who's on the throne. Self is on the throne. Now, Christ is not on the outside. Christ is on the inside, but Christ finds a position very similar to the other things of that person's life. In the carnal man, in the carnal person's life, Jesus is just another attachment. Jesus is just another aspect. And sometimes people treat the Lord just like that. Oh, yeah, church is just another thing I do. Prayer is just another thing I do, like going to school, like going to work, like making money, like going to the mall. I can take it or I cannot take it. And that's how the carnal man treats the Lord. I can take it or I cannot. If somebody makes me upset, if somebody hurts my feeling, oh, no, I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to go to church. But guess who you're hurting? You're not hurting that person. You're hurting yourself. And you are operating in disobedience when the scripture says to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so when you operate in the flesh, it's just pure disobedience. There is no submission to the things of God. But then when you look at the spiritual man, this is the Christian who is really trusting in God. God, the Lord, is on the throne, not just on the inside of the circle, but in the center of the circle and on the throne. And ego and self is at the foot of the throne, just where we need to be, at the foot of the Lord. And everything else that is a part of our lives is directly connected with the will of God who's sitting on the throne. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this picture. And I wanted to share this with you because I want you to see where you could be. And if you are not in the right circle, if one of those circles represent you, number one or number two, you're not where you need to be, but number three is available. Number three is available. Let's look at this again from another point of view. The natural person, the natural man, lives with fear, worry, and in gross sin. Another image of the throne or the control center of the person's life, various interests represented by the black circles, and that ego or that self represented as where is on the throne. Where are you? Some people are on the throne. Some people are at the foot of the throne. Some people are, you know, they're close. They're on the throne. And the other thing is, where is Christ in your life? Is Christ on the outside of your life? Is Christ on the inside of your life? Is Christ on the throne of your life? You can look at the image. You can get the message. There's a difference between the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. The natural man lives in fear, worry, and led by gross sin. The spiritual man, the supernatural man, lives in the peace of God, by the power of God, with the joy of the Lord as their strength, fulfilling the purposes of God. That is where you want to be. That's where you can be. That's where I pray you are. But the carnal man is one that lives in fear, worry, and in gross sin. And you'll see that there's very little difference between the carnal man and the natural man. The only difference is that with the carnal man, they've got Christ in their lives. They've got the advantage, but they're not living by it. They're living by their flesh because their ego is on the throne. Let's go on to our next reader. We're going to ask Sister Bernadette Tinley, Missionary Tinley, to read this slide at this time.
Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 13. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
My God, my God, this is the answer to overcoming the carnal mind, that fleshly nature, that flesh that wars against the spirit. So let's understand. Paul is saying, listen, you are not in the flesh. You have the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see that there's going to be a difference between those that have the Holy Ghost and those that do not. That's why you have an image. For those of you that are able to view, you can see it. But for those of you that don't have the camera on or you're not using Zoom with a device where you can see, there's an image of a grave. There's an image of two images of graveyards. In one graveyard, there's headstones there. That's hanging out, just being headstones. In another image of the graveyard, there are people rising from those graves. Glory to God. And so Paul is telling us here now, you are not in the flesh, believer. You are not in the flesh, child of God, but you're in the spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Then understand, you're in the spirit. But let's be clear. He says, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You cannot join into the body of Christ. It's not a membership club. You cannot be vetted by a committee that will look at your credit rating, your credit scores, your academic accomplishments, a resume of sorts. No. That's not how you get into the body of Christ. It's not by vote. It's not by committee. You must be born into it. You must be born again. And some people are struggling with their identities. They're struggling with their sexual orientation issues that are going on. We're living in a world where it used to be a time when you talked about people either being homosexual or heterosexual. Now we're talking about LGBTQT and all the other letters that go along with the definitions and the descriptions of various gender identities. We've got an alphabet soup of gender identities, and this is not made by God. This is made by man. Some people will say, this is how I was born. I was born this way. There was even in pop culture, there's even songs that point to the aspect, I was born this way. I was born this way. Well, no matter how you were born, whether you were born straight, whether you were born gay, whether you were born whatever way you were born, Jesus put it to Nicodemus like this, and this has been shared from time immemorial since Jesus spoke it in John chapter 3. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. This is how you become a child of God. And if any man have not the spirit of Christ, this is how you get the Holy Spirit, to be born again. If you don't have the spirit of Christ, the Bible says that person is none of his. Now, you may be a part of the creation of God, but you are not a part of the recreation of God. Everything that exists in this world, God made it. God made it. Even light and darkness, God made it. Good and evil, God made it. And he has a purpose in what he's made. And there's a purpose being served by everything. But when it comes down to being his child, you must be born in childhood or birthright blessings come to those who are born in. And so you cannot join a church and be a body, part of the body of Christ. You can't give the preacher your hand and give the Lord your heart kind of thing and be a part of it, the body of Christ. You got to be born in. You need Christ in you. And Paul says, if Christ is in you, then the body, this fleshly instrumentality is dead. Now, he's not talking about your physical body, because, you know, your physical body is not dead. He's talking about what sin uses to accomplish its purposes. God, the heart of sin, the nature of sin. And so this is represented by the term the body. And so Paul says the body is dead because of sin. In other words, the body is rendered useless. It's rendered powerless. That sinful nature is rendered powerless when you walk in the Spirit, because the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This life operates in us, not just to live in this world, but to raise us up from the dead. It is the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. And Paul says, if that Spirit abides in you, it will make your mortal body. Now, this is your fleshly body, the mortal, your mortality. It will cause your body to come alive. That word quicken means to be alive. So you're quickened, your mortal body is by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the graveyard scene is very apropos, because people are put in the grave when they die. Jesus was buried in a tomb when he died. But when he got up, when he came back to life, he got out of the tomb. And I'm so glad that by the Holy Spirit, even though before Christ, we were amongst the living dead, now we're amongst those who have life in the Holy Spirit, as those that are alive from the dead. Therefore, we don't owe the sinful nature not a red cent. We don't owe the sinful nature a dime or a penny. We don't owe the sinful nature anything. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Make no mistake about it. You will not get to heaven. You can speak in tongues all you want, but if you are walking as a carnal Christian, you will not get to heaven. You remember in the New Testament, there were those that came to the wedding supper when the door was shut, and they knocked on the door in the parable and said, "We prophesied in your name. We did this in your name. We did that in your name." And the good man of the house came and opened the door. The Lord of the house came, looked out there and said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't know you. I don't know you." And I think that's probably going to be one of the most crushing things to hear. And that's going to be heard by those who acted and lived like they did not know who Jesus was. There will come a time when that life will pay off in painful dividends, when they will hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you." Whew. Let's go on. You will remember that there was a time when God gave people a warning that judgment was coming, that the end was near. It was through a man by the name of Noah. And God told Noah to do something that was completely unprecedented. He said, "Build a boat, build an ark." God told Noah, "I'm going to send rain to the level that will cover the world, and all flesh shall die, except those who are on the boat." People heard Noah talk about it. They even saw him building this boat, and they mocked him. They scorned him. They laughed at him. They ridiculed him. They spoke evil of him. But one day, after God was ready and the ark was constructed, the Lord told Noah to take all the animals, take your wife, your three sons and their wives, go into the ark and shut the door. And the moment Noah did that, it started to rain. And the rain didn't stop. It kept going higher and higher and higher and higher. It covered the ankles, then it covered the knees, then it covered the waist, then it covered the shoulders, then it covered the head, then it covered the mountains. There was water everywhere. There was no place safe except the ark. Only those who were in the ark survived. Beloved, hear me when I tell you, Jesus is the ark today. Only those who abide in the ark shall be saved. There is no other way to be saved except Jesus. You can mock him, you can scorn him, you can ridicule him, but there is no salvation in any other name that is upon the earth other than Jesus Christ. And when the day of reckoning comes, there'll be people just like as in Noah's day that will be knocking on the ark, but they can't get in. Whew. Sister Sutton, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 18, please.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Thank you. Everybody has to make a choice. There's a way that seems right to us, but the ends of the ways, our ways, it's not right. It's not even life. It's the ways of death. God's way, being led by the Spirit of God, that is the only way to survive, to live, to thrive. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I'm not going to be afraid to trust God and go my own way. I can overcome that because I have the spirit of adoption. In other words, I belong to God by adoption. In the Roman mind, the idea of adoption put a person who was not a blood-born relative in position just as if they were blood-born. It took those that were outside of the family and brought them into a position of full rights and privileges as those who were born by blood. This adoption in the Holy Ghost is also a birth by blood. While it is not by the blood of man, it is by the blood of Jesus. And he has paid the price with his blood. And I'm not afraid, because the price has been paid. And that phrase, Abba, Father, that cry, Abba, Father, is a term of endearment. Abba is a term of endearment. Father, Father. It's close to synonymous in the expression with Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani, that phrase when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Abba is a term of endearment. The spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Sometimes you won't feel like a child of God, but the Holy Spirit will let you know, yeah, you're a child of God. You may be a hard-headed child of God, but you're a child of God. And so if I'm a child of God, then let's understand my position as a child. I am an heir. I am an heir. In other words, I have the right to inherit everything that's in the will. Everything that's in the will that belongs to me, I have a right to it. I claim it. It's mine. And so, just as an heir in the natural is a person that receives the benefits once a person dies, you in the spiritual, who have accepted Jesus Christ and repented of your sins, been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and gone on to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that seal until the day of redemption, you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ right now. And as long as you walk by faith and remain faithful to the Lord, you shall receive your inheritance. My God, we have an inheritance amongst the sanctified. Paul says, if we suffer with him, we will be glorified together. So you got to understand, just because we are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, just because we've got benefits and privileges that we can experience right now and in the world to come, we are not exempt from suffering. We are not exempt from going through. We're not exempt from the problems, the pains, and even the passions that are in this world. But Paul says, when I put God first, I reckon. The word reckon is an accounting term. It's a term that speaks of counting it up. When I do the math, I reckon. Paul said, when I do the math, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. The degree of sufferings, the amount of sufferings, don't come close to the amount of glory. Ah, God. In other words, the benefits manifesting in my life, benefits today, benefits tomorrow, benefits for eternity. God is not just interested in what's happening right now. He's got a plan mapped out for our lives that will take us from earth to glory and from here throughout eternity. And when you go God's way, you get that benefit. Oh, God. And so we must understand our walking with the Lord is key to this life, the law of the spirit of life in Christ. We got to follow him. We got to follow him. We've got to follow him. And my God, I'm going to have to end. My God, I don't want to end, but I'm going to have to end here. And I think this is a good place to end, because what you've heard tonight, my brothers and my sisters, is that if I want to live in victory, I've got to follow Jesus. If I want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, life in the Holy Ghost, if I want to live this life, I've got to follow Jesus. I've got to take up my cross. I've got to deal with what comes. I'm not going to cry about life. I might cry in the moment, but I'm not going to cry through life. It may hurt me in the moment, but at the end of that moment, I've got to give God praise because he walks with me. He doesn't just tell me to follow him and he's out in the distance some way far, far away from me that I can't even reach him. Oh, no. He walks with me. Anytime you see Jesus with the disciples, they're following him, but they're walking together. He's together. He's together. Oh, God, my heart is overjoyed tonight. And the fact that following Jesus will change your life every step. Like there were men, 10 men that were lepers. And because they were lepers, they couldn't be touched. They had to cry out when they saw people coming by them that were well. They had to cry out unclean. They had to degradate themselves. They had to denigrate themselves. Anytime they saw people coming into their area, they had to cry out unclean, unclean. In other words, stay away, stay away. Jesus went to a place where there were 10 of them. 10 of them congregating. Now, 10 in the Jewish system is the number of men required to start a synagogue, to start a church. It's called a minyan. And so it's so powerful. That parable is so powerful. And that story is so powerful. That wasn't a parable. That actually happened. Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says that as they went to the priest, now that was a part of the ritual of being authenticated that you were clean. the priest would have to examine and verify that you were clean. And once you got the priest's stamp of approval, you can go back into society. So the priest was the place where they were vetted. They were examined. He told them, because Jesus kept the law. He followed the law to the letter. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, without him giving them a pill, without him giving them an injection, without him giving them any lotion, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says that when they went, as they were in the process of going, their healing manifested. What am I saying to you right now? You may be feeling that there's something that's broken in your life, something that's wounded, something that's really messed up. But as you follow Jesus, he has a way of healing. He has a way of mending. He has a way of fixing. And it's his spirit that does it. I'm going to pause now because I am so excited, and give space to our prayer leaders to come boldly before the throne of grace and pray with focus and purpose as intercessors, women for the women, men for the men, the young people for the young people. Bring them before the Lord with your earnest prayer, our men, our women, our young people, as intercessors. Your charge is to bring their needs to God in prayer. I'm going to pause myself and let them come. Our representative for the men, our representative intercessor, say that, our intercessor for the men, our intercessor for the women, our intercessor for the young people. Come in that order in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, our Savior, our King, just for waking us up this morning, Lord God. We thank you for the breath of life. We thank you today that we had the activities of our limbs, that we were in our right minds, that we could walk, talk, and do those things with our bodies, Lord. But even before we go any further, Lord, I ask you right now, on behalf of the men, Lord, that whatever we've done, those things that we've said, those words that came out of our mouths, perhaps those curse words, those words that hurt people, that those things we've done with our bodies, those immoral things, those sinful things, anything in our hearts, Lord, that's not of you, we ask you to forgive us right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, you shed your blood upon Calvary for our forgiveness. You shed your blood on the cross so we don't have to live this way, Lord. So forgive us, Lord. And purge us with fire if you must. Do what you have to do, Lord, that we may be forgiven, Lord God. We ask you right now, Lord, to cleanse us, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now in our lives, Lord God, because we are in the last days. If you look and see what's been happening in the news, things are getting worse. Lord God, you are coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. You are coming back for your people. At any moment, you can crack the sky. At any moment, two will be in a field, one will be taken up, and one will be left. You'll have two people in a car driving, the driver will be taken up, and the passenger will be left. The plane could be flying, and both the pilot and the co-pilot will be taken up to meet you in the air. Those people on the plane being left, Lord, you are coming back. And Lord, so I ask you right now to look upon the men even right now, Lord Jesus. For those who have strayed away, prick their hearts, Lord, that they may come back. Even those that might think they've abandoned the faith, Lord, prick their hearts so that they may come back, Lord. Let your word penetrate their hearts, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We need you right now, Lord. Those men need you right now, Lord Jesus. Prick our hearts, Lord, that we may respond, Lord God. Because at the end of the day, Lord God, it's a choice. Your word says to choose you this day who you're going to serve, Lord. Lord, I know I choose to serve you, but Lord, there are many men that choose to serve you. You're giving us the chance, you're giving us the opportunity, Lord. So I pray, Lord God, that the men respond to your word, respond to the tugging of their heart, respond to that knock on the door, Lord God. Lord, we say thank you, Lord God, for making the way, for making the opportunity, Lord God. Lord, we know that it's a narrow road and it's hard. People are going to reject us. People are going to laugh at us. People might despise us. But Lord, that narrow way leads to you. That narrow way is going to lead to heaven. That broad road, however, leads to destruction. So, Lord, extend your hand of mercy upon the men right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray that they respond to your word. I pray that they respond to your calling. I pray even right now that they respond to you, Lord. They need you, Lord. We all need you, Lord. We all need you, Lord. We all need you, Lord. And I thank you right now for being our Savior, for being our King. I thank you right now for your grace and for your mercy, Lord. If it weren't for your mercy, Lord, if it weren't for your love, Lord God, we'd all be lost, the very elect would be lost. So I say thank you tonight, Lord God, for another chance, for another day, for another opportunity to come to you, to come boldly to your throne, that we could obtain mercy. The men need your mercy right now. The men need your mercy, Lord. And we thank you for providing it. We say thank you today. I love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Those on the line right now love you, Lord. And we say thank you. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it all belongs to you. Hallelujah. And we say thank you. In Jesus' name.
Oh God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we magnify you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh Father, oh God, we come before you withholding nothing. Hallelujah. Everything is on the altar of the good, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, we come before you asking to have thy way. Hallelujah. Make us what we ought to be, Lord God. Bring down every stronghold, Lord God. Deliver and set free. We lay ourselves on the altar. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, forgive us, Father, for everything that we've done, said, or did. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we come before you, Father, knowing you are our all, and our hope is in you, Lord God. Father, Lord God, this night, hallelujah, Lord God, we bring the women before you, hallelujah, oh, name by name, house by house, individually and collectively, in the name of Jesus, Father, Lord God, you know who we are, where we are. Hallelujah. Lord God, we pray that you lift us up where we're supposed to be. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. In these last and evil days, Lord God, we look unto you, the author and the finisher for our faith. Our trust is in you, Lord God. We don't want to be carnal-minded. Oh, God, we won't. We don't want to be carnal-minded. Lord God, lift us up where we're supposed to be in the name of Jesus. Jesus, that we walk in your word, walk in the spirit. Oh, Lord God, where there is freedom and peace. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let your word dwell in us richly. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You are our all in all, Father. We give you glory and honor, and we do magnify your name because thou art worthy of the praise. Thank you, Lord God, for your word that gives us life, life everlasting. Hallelujah. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we magnify you for the book of Romans. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that speaks life unto us everlasting. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Bless the women that are on this line, Father. You know where they are. You know what they stand in need of. Lord God, open up understanding to the word. Make it plain unto them that they may live thereby. Hallelujah, that they may walk this life. Hallelujah, according to your will and not our will. Not according to our flesh, but what the word of God says. Hallelujah, glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Even when we don't understand it, Lord God, we may walk it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for it pleases you. Hallelujah. And it is our desire to please your Lord. Hallelujah. Not our will, but thine will be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Our hope is built on nothing less. Hallelujah. Than Jesus's blood and his righteousness. Hallelujah. We want to live righteous, Lord God. We want to live righteous in you, Lord Jesus. Let your word rule up in us in the name of Jesus. Lord, no other help that we know of but the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless each woman on this line. Encourage their heart and strengthen them in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, Lord God, because we are heirs and joint heirs with you in Christ. In the name of Jesus, we have hope beyond the grave, salvation so full and so very free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for this moment. We thank you for the teaching of your word, Lord God. Yes, some of us might be going through, but we come before our Heavenly Father. You know all about it, Lord God. You'll step in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, we pray you intercede, Lord Jesus, in the 12th hour. Ha-ha! In the name of Jesus. Lord God, strengthen the people of God this very moment. Father, Lord God, thou knowest the circumstances. In the name of Jesus, we bow ourselves before thine presence. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, burn up everything that's not like you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, because we want to be caught up to meet you in the air. In the name of Jesus, whatever it takes, Father, Lord God, do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Father, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, encourage the women tonight. Encourage us in the name of Jesus. There's hope in the midst of the storm. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we love you tonight, Lord God. We give you glory and honor, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 the highest praise we can give unto you. And we do magnify your most holy name right now. In the name of Jesus, bless the women. Let the presence of God be felt in the name of Jesus. Let them know that they're not by themselves, but you're with them every step of the way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Answer the prayer request that they bring before you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we love you this very moment. We love you in the midst of it all. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do it for us in the name of Jesus. Do it for us in the name of Jesus. Have thy way, Father, Lord God. Bless everyone on the line tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Those that are saved, keep us saved. Those that are not saved, save them, Lord God. fill them with the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Save before it's everlasting too late in the name of Jesus. Thank you for everyone, Lord God. Oh God, forgive us for anything that's not right. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, we hold nothing before you, Father. We don't hold it back, Lord God. We bring it to you, Lord God. Have your way in your people's life. Thank you for your man servant. Continue to use him to your glory. Lift him up where he's supposed to be. Work out circumstances in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the leaders. Have your way, Father, Lord God. Do it for us in the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We give your name glory and honor. Hallelujah. We won't forget to give your name the honor and the praise. Thank you in advance in the name of Jesus. Thank you right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything. Thank you, Lord God, no matter what it is. We say thank you, hallelujah. Praises are going up unto you, Father. Praise goes up to you, Lord Jesus. We give you the glory right now, Lord God. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Father, Lord God. Move in a mighty way right now, Lord God. Let your anointings be in the place and bring down everything that's not like you. Have your way, Lord God Almighty. Strengthen people's bodies, encourage people's heart, regulate minds, deliver and set free, heal bodies, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God, and we can't praise you enough. I magnify your name, and I thank you. Hallelujah. And we praise you in Jesus' name. We pray. Hallelujah. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for your presence and your power that's upon us even right now, oh Lord, as we sit here in your presence. God, I pray over the young people that you are with them in each and every moment, Lord. Wherever they are, oh God, I pray that your presence continues to cover them right now, oh Lord. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, oh God. Keep their minds safe, oh Lord, from every thought so that the enemy comes to attack them with, oh God. Let them remember whose they are and what they were created to do, oh God, what they were created to be, oh God, that they can walk this earth with your power and with your spirit. They don't have to be afraid of the attack of the enemy. They don't have to be afraid of different things that are in our lives, different things we see in this country, different things we even see in this world. We don't have to fear, oh God, because you are with us. Hallelujah. We don't have to tell you about all of our problems, oh God, but we can tell our problems about you. We can tell the sin that we won't return to it. We can tell the depression to leave us alone. We can tell the pedophiles on the street that God is our protector. We can tell the strangers that God keeps us and protect us. We can tell the disease that it won't overtake our life. We can tell the statistics that we will beat them and go forth and to be kings and queens in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I cover them right now and I pray that you order their steps, oh Lord, that you order each and every one of their steps, even if they walk in confusion, oh God, if they're confused about their path, if they're confused about where they go, that they come to your word and they come to Bible study and they understand what you have to say, not just what the preacher says, not just what the pastor says, but what does the word of the Lord say? I pray, oh God, that they hide your word inside of their hearts. Hallelujah. That they might not sin against you, oh Lord. Cover your young people this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bless your name this night and we thank you. We thank you for your abiding presence. We thank you for the assurances of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have never left us. You'll never forsake us, and that you have offered us the best way to live. You have made it possible through Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that we are no longer, we can choose to be no longer subject to the law of sin and death. We can choose to be free. Oh God, I thank you that tonight your word has made it clear that freedom is a choice. Sin is a conundrum. Sin is a problem. Sin destroys lives and individuals. Sin destroys whatever it touches. But I'm so glad that you can redeem us from all sin. Lord, every person on this line tonight that has the Holy Ghost, has been redeemed from destruction. We love you. We thank you. Lord, there is so much going on in the world. Lord God, there's earthquakes in Haiti. There's mudslides. There's torrential storms. There's tropical storms. There's hurricanes. Lord God, there's the Taliban in Afghanistan. Oh God, there's COVID-19 all across the globe and the Delta variant springing up its head. Lord God, there is much to be concerned about, much to be unnerved about, but we've got so much to thank you for. We can be secure because you are. We can be made whole because you are the healer. Lord God, our lives can be better. Not just better, but the best. We live our best lives when we live according to your word. And so I thank you tonight that life in the Holy Spirit, God, it's possible for anyone to have it. Life in the Holy Spirit. It's possible because Jesus paid the ticket. He paid the penalty. He paid the price. And now we have a right to the tree of life. We can be forgiven. We can be set free. And tonight, I thank you for that freedom in my life. I thank you that I am forgiven. I thank you that I am set free. I thank you that I made up my mind a long time ago. And I know somebody else on this line has made up their mind a whole long time ago as well, that we've made up our mind to follow after Jesus. We know that when you have a valuable item and you hold on to it, that it increases in value over time. Lord God, I'm grateful because the longer I've held on to you, the more I hold on to you, the more valuable my walk becomes, the more valuable my relationship with you becomes. It's personal. It's valuable. And Lord God, you have revealed my value to myself. You have shown me how valuable I am to you. You call me the apple of your eye. You call your children the apple of your eye. Oh, God, you watch over us to protect us. You watch over your word to bring it to pass in our lives. And so tonight, as you are holding on to us, we are holding on to you. We thank you that you've given us this life. Thank you that you've given us a way out. Jesus, the ark of safety. You've given us your word as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, so we can go in the right direction. You have given us a hope that goes beyond the grave, knowing that if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in us, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies. By that same spirit, we thank you that we can live by the spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord God, I thank you that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so tonight we choose you, Father. Tonight we choose life. Tonight we thank you that the devil wanted us to be in chains, but Jesus has broken every chain. Hey, the lion of the tribe of Judah has broken every chain, and the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And tonight, Lord God, I thank you because everybody on this line that has the Holy Ghost can make that declaration. Everybody on this line that has the Holy Ghost can say those words in truth. And those that may not have the Holy Ghost yet can begin to confess, I believe God, I accept Christ. They can start the process of getting closer to you through repentance, through being baptized in the water in Jesus' name, through receiving the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, it is possible for all. There is power for all. There is purpose for all. We thank you. And in this season of discipleship, I pray, Lord God, that you will help us to understand that this lesson is not just for facts and figures. This lesson is for transformation, that we would indeed be the disciples that you have called us to be. Light shining in darkness, salt in a world that needs it. Lord God, representatives as ambassadors of Christ to those who are outside of the ark. I thank you for these here present. I pray your blessings upon every one of their lives. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.